Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Happy to be on location at the Oak Ridge Nissan right here where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. That's where I am today. Jimmy Hyams joining us from his secret studio. And it's always a pleasure to head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline to say hello to our good friend Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com. Jesse, how are you?
Doing well. How are y'all doing?
Doing quite well. Sure to appreciate the time. And it's been something to see with teams being able to perhaps with some school districts, you've got football teams that are practicing and you have all kinds of plans that are either being shared and or put back in motion. What has it been like to see how football programs, Jesse, are handling this time between now and the TSSAA dead period?
First off, it's just exciting to have some type of sport going again. And so I think that's generated a lot of buzz and overall optimism that a season might happen this fall for high school football. Of course, there's going to be a lot that is monitored over the next month, 3 to 4 weeks, as to how this all transpires, if there's been a spike in COVID cases in relation to high school athletes and its programs. And so how this next month goes up into the dead period, the TSSAA dead period, which begins June 22nd, could dictate a lot as to what comes next in terms of football preparations in July and August. But nevertheless, it's exciting to see kids reconvening on a football field, even though they're all social distancing and you're seeing those measures being put into place. It just gives reason for a lot of hope for the fall.
Jesse, in regard to that dead period, I want to ask you this. Kentucky is doing away with it. So I wonder if you think there's any chance that Tennessee might rescind that. Is there a chance they might come back and say, you know what, we don't need a dead period. They've already been off for long enough.
I haven't heard as much. There was a lot of conversation about that probably 2 to 3 weeks ago. And as word started to get out that workouts were starting back up, and you talk to one coach and they want the dead period gone. You talk to another coach and they want to keep it as such. So for those who want it gone, the concern is that they're going to be working out these kids for the next 3 to 4 weeks, and then you take 2 weeks off. And so they lose that conditioning, and then you have to get them back in shape. And their argument is, well, we've had a dead period the last 3 months. We need to get these kids, if we're going to have a season. They've missed spring practice. They've missed some of them aren't pushing themselves and aren't in condition to work out. We need that dead period time to get them properly conditioned for the fall. And then the argument against that is, well, we think 3 or 4 weeks is enough time. A lot of families have vacations planned for the dead period, as tradition is, and coaches need to kind of get away to prepare for the season. I know some coaches who kind of use that time to get with other coaches and prepare for what's coming in July. So you get it from both sides. And I put a poll out on Twitter yesterday, and I think about 62% were in favor of getting rid of the dead period, and that was about over 1,000 votes. Conversely, I put it on Instagram, where a lot of the young people are, and they want to keep the dead period. And Facebook was kind of a mixed bag. You got a lot of parents on there who wanted to keep their vacations. And so I don't think there's an overwhelming movement in the state borders of Tennessee to cancel that dead period, but it's certainly an interesting conversation to have.
Mm-hmm. And Jesse, with I saw where South Doyle's returned and West has returned and some others are getting out there. At what point will we be seeing your reports and features about these football teams?
Well, we've already started to roll a few of those out on 5starpreps.com. We've hit on a couple of teams here this week. You know, what they'll look like. We typically do that a lot during spring football, and we didn't get a chance to do that, to report on some of these new position movements for football teams, or who are some of these underclassmen who are going to be filling vacancies in the starting lineup. So we're starting a chance to do that now. We won't really see much 7-on-7, though, Jimmy, in the month of June like we typically do. And so we're kind of keeping our fingers crossed that that will return after the dead period in early to mid-July, and we could really get a good sense of what kind of personnel these teams have. But we've already started to roll out some of these previews, and We've done stuff through the spring semester about, you know, who are some of the new quarterbacks to watch and who are the top prospects in class of 2021. But unfortunately, right now, there's not much fun stuff to go out and report. You go to one of these practices and you're watching just, you know, kids run and do conditioning. So I've talked with a number of coaches, and I guess their concerns, though, right now is just how they might have to adjust what they normally do in the summer, because these kids that they got this week at a workout were all over the place in terms of conditioning-wise. There were some that were ready for it and some that were out there puking on those fields that the coaches were having to clean up. I got a couple of interesting pictures from a couple of camps this week about what was on the field. So it's kind of an all-over-the-place type of situation right now.
Jesse, I saw that you commented today, or I should say Five Star Preps and their Twitter feed commented on the news that Kennedy Chandler is leaving the state. Are you surprised by him transferring?
I was very surprised by that, and but it's not an unprecedented move for Tennessee to see one of the top prospects leave and go to an academy of sorts. We saw Matthew Morrell, who was a standout for Whitehaven during the 2018-2019 season, who played against Bearden during their run to the state championship. He left and ended up at AMG Academy. So Kennedy Chandler, even though he was in the Memphis area, which is replete with Division I talent, I think we can all agree with that, is going to, I believe it's called the Sunrise Academy, maybe out in Kansas, to further his development, and we'll see how that treats him. So I don't understand the move from that standpoint, but I'm sure he has his reasons for doing that, and that just opens the door for a pro Knoxville Catholic to possibly repeat a state champion. They had to beat Briarcrest in the state championship game, and I know there's another top point guard in the class of 2022 who moved into the state of Tennessee, so that might give them some obstacle. But Kennedy Chandler is the target of the Vols. He's the target of Duke and so many other big-time programs in the world of college basketball. It's an interesting move for sure.
I guess it's 2 weeks from this weekend. The PGA is set to return. We've seen some events. What were your takeaways from the match last Sunday?
I thought it was fantastic that you have two golfers in Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, arguably the two biggest names in the game of golf over the last 15 to 20 years, and locking horns not only with each other, but to have Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, who are two of the most successful NFL quarterbacks of all time, out there in just horrendous weather. And the fact that they didn't call it off, I thought spoke volumes of why they were out there. They raised $20 million. It was fun to watch Brady struggle. It's fun to watch Peyton struggle, and then conversely to hit great shots and win holes. So it was fun. The ratings were through the roof. I saw that came out earlier in the week, and rightfully so. I mean, that was just a really fun event. I think it really captured what the good parts of golf and the trash talk that goes on the golf course, not just when those people play, but when anybody plays, and just really kind of encompass all the good things about golf, even though the weather was bad.
Jesse, I wanted to ask you about the TSSAA and how you think they have handled things in terms of canceling this event or that event, allowing teams to come back at a certain time. I know that we're in uncharted territory, and it's hard to compare necessarily one county to another as far as the pandemic is concerned. But how do you think the TSSAA has handled it and the leadership?
I think they've done a good job. A tremendous job? I don't know. Again, like you mentioned, this is uncharted territory. There's no precedent for this. There's no blueprint that these people that are in power at the TSSAA can really look back to and draw upon from their personal experience. So I think Bernard Childress and his staff have done a great job of working with the CDC and working with people in Murfreesboro, where state championships are going to be held, in terms of working with coaches around the state. And it's an impossible job to please everybody, to please certain coaches who wanted to have a spring fling. You're seeing a lot of arguments going on right now because football is back, and, well, we could have had a spring fling a couple of days before football started back. It's just, it's an impossible job to appease everybody, and I think they've done a good job. There was a time where I felt like TSSAA should have come out and maybe calmed the waters in terms of everything that was going on with teams in West Tennessee and Alcoa and Maryville starting workouts, and nobody else knew when they were going to be starting, and there was a cry for this is an unfair advantage. But those waters eventually settled, and the local school districts did end up kind of taking the reins of that and letting people begin. So there's still a lot of issues with what's going over on in the Memphis area and when those schools might start back or if they start back at all. So I wouldn't classify it as great, but I think they've done a really good job.
Jesse, were you surprised to see that Gatorade went ahead and named a baseball player of the year for the state of Tennessee?
Yeah, I was, given that we only got to play for about a week. And so generally that award is based off of what they do during the season, the regular season and the postseason. And since there really wasn't a regular season, there certainly wasn't a postseason, I was surprised to see that. And, of course, me and some other media members, I kind of debated that a little bit. But I'll keep my stance that I don't think that award should have been presented this year. But certainly the young man that they gave it to is a phenomenal player. But there are a lot of phenomenal players in the state of Tennessee. And I thought that Ryan Hagenow from Farragut certainly had a chance to win that award, given what he did last year for Farragut and what he was set to do as an even better player, an even better prospect during this spring. So it was a little bit of a shock. Normally I hear from the Gatorade people for football and basketball and didn't hear from anybody. And then all of a sudden it just popped up on Twitter one day. So that was a little bit stunning.
What do you think it'll be like for him in about 2 weeks with the first round and the five-round Major League Draft?
Well, you know, we talked with Ryan early on during the pandemic just to kind of see how he was treating that, making sure how he prepared himself as a player to just keep doing what he's supposed to do and put himself in a position to be drafted. I don't know. I've looked at a few mock drafts. I haven't seen him in some people's first rounds, and so it's hard to project, especially with baseball, where a high school player may go, because as you guys know, these guys put price tags on themselves, and that might lend themselves to be drafted, or that might lend themselves to be pushed out of the draft and then, put them on to college. So it's all about what he wants and how he's going to – people in his camp are going to go about approaching the draft and what he needs to get to go pro. And so that can really dictate his position in the draft. But one thing I do know is that Hagenow family has been through a lot of this. They're experienced. They're great people. They have a great program that they can get all the information that they need to get from in terms of Matt Buckner and Farragut baseball. So if there's going to be one person in town that's properly prepared to handle a Major League Baseball draft, it's going to be Ryan Hagenow.
I think it's going to be something to watch when the draft gets here, simply for the fact that there really is no minor league baseball. There could be a form of AAA just to make sure that if indeed Major League Baseball returns, that you've got guys that are warm and ready to be called on if indeed there are injuries. But I just wonder if that's something that you think might benefit those that are 2 and 3 years in college as opposed to high school seniors this go around?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I'm going to take a wait and see approach with that question and just kind of see how it affects the draft and affects those who are possibly going to hear their name called. It's kind of a sad state of affairs in terms of what's going on with minor league baseball. I know I've seen local players like Nick Senzel who've gone through the minor league systems and are up there with the Cincinnati Reds. I saw he's trying to do some things on social media to raise support for some of these guys that are in minor league baseball. And so it's a far-reaching ripple effect as it goes through baseball, and I'm just going to have to kind of sit back and watch it unfold.
Well, we look forward to more of your season previews for upcoming football season with 5starpreps.com. You still got the birthday celebrations in savings, so tell folks how they can sign up and save.
yeah, you can go to 5starpreps.com and join, and you get 20% off your first month or year subscription. A lot of people have been taking advantage of that year subscription, and then 20% off of that, which knocks about $13 or $14 off the price. So at checkout or at sign up, you just put in the promo code HBD5SP and enjoy all the content that we have planned this summer. And we got a lot coming over the next few days.
Jesse, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch up next week.
All right, guys. Enjoyed it.
Thank you.
That's Jesse Smithy of 5starpreps.com joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.